Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. We're about a week away from the NFL draft.
1 week away from today, 7 days.
Yeah, 7 days. So the next time we hop on this podcast, we're going to have some new Chicago Bears.
New quarterback.
You know, we'll discuss that. New quarterback. Number one overall. I think the cat's out of the bag is no longer a debate. I saw the Commanders had a bunch of quarterbacks in for their 30 visit, and one of them wasn't invited.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, he decided he wasn't going to show up.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you know, only one team got his medicals, he only visited one team. So as you said, the cat is out of the bag. I'm pretty sure they already know. So yeah, it is what it is.
You know, what's interesting is, come draft night, will it just be, okay, we open in the draft, Bears select Caleb Williams, or will they make everybody wait the full, whatever it is, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is?
Bro, you know what they are. That shit irks me, because it's like, you already know who you taking, man. Why is you letting the time go? You know what I'm saying? Unless that's ESPN or the NFL draft saying, you know, drag it out. But it's like, man, cut the shit. We know who you taking. You had how many months to say who's going number one?
Right.
Why are you dragging this out, man? Come on.
Who was it back in the day? Before they had the rookie scale, they were like already be working out the contract. They were like, yeah, they working out the contract
exactly.
Right now. Who was? I forget who it was. Yeah, they were already nailing out the contract details. Like, right.
DeMarcus Russell.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they be killing it with that, man. But
yeah. I think they're gonna wait the whole 5 minutes. I think they are.
Just drag it out. Yeah. I wanna see what this fool gonna be wearing. I wanna see what he gonna be wearing. I definitely wanna see what Caleb gonna wear. Now I know it ain't gonna be nothing outlandish. I seen a post on Twitter where they had him dressing like Chris Tucker from The Fifth Element. with that whole get up on. I'm like, come on, dog. Really? You know what I'm saying? But I'm pretty sure Caleb gonna go up there and be clean. Now my question is, you know, because he's known to have the wild hair. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he's going to go up there clean cut, clean shaven, or is he just going to go up there with that Cali style, with that wild beard, wild hair. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm here. You know, because he likes to be his own person.
Yeah, I heard his girl is like a fashion designer or something. So if that's true, you know he's going to come with something.
Now, to
turn some people's heads to try to get.
Right. My question is this. Which chick is it? Is it the Hispanic chick that we seen previously, or is this a new female?
I have no idea. I ain't that deep into it, but I just heard. There's somebody told me a girl is a fashion designer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know what I mean? If you're trying to draw attention to our brand, you go wear something that people are going to talk about.
Well, you know, Caleb is from D.C., so you know what I'm saying? It's some fly cats out from D.C., man. I know a couple fly cats from D.C., man. So I wonder if he's going to come with that D.C. swag.
Shout out to Chocolate City.
Straight up. Hey, D.C. used to be the spot.
Go-go music.
You definitely used to be the spot. D.C. definitely used to be the spot back in the day. You know, we talking for those who probably listening to this pod, man, and you know, y'all was probably born in like 98, 99. We talking about from that era on back to the 80s, DC used to be popping. Georgetown, the whole nine, you know what I'm saying? Especially running up through that way. Imports and exports coming from the harbor. Yeah, in DC,
illicit activity,
to say the least. So DC definitely used to be popping, man, and still to this day, you know, before the gentrification happened in D.C., where D.C. was predominant. D.C. used to be the blackest city in the United States of America.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Followed by Detroit.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Chocolate City.
Absolutely. Yep. Chocolate you know, city. So, and they used to have some of the finest women, Ethiopians, everything. You know what I'm saying? Somali. I mean, females are super, super bad, you know, from the D.C. area. To think of modern history to this date. Remember the chick, the video chick that used to be, I think she ended up signing a G-Unit. Now she's a rapper. Angel Lola Love. She used to be a video chick. Super fine. Angel Lola Love. She's from D.C. She is from Washington, D.C. Now, for those who don't know who Angel Lola Love is, Google her. She was all over all the magazines. She's super cold. Super cold, okay? But I'll leave it at that. But Shorty was bad. So, you know, it's thousands of her walking the streets of Washington, D.C. to this day. You know, I wish I had that excerpt from the boxer. To this day! To this day! Going to throw that joint in there because, boy, Angel was bad. Yeah, Angel was bad. So, you know, it was females like that walking the streets of D.C. every single day. You know, so hey, it is what it is. But so we have four picks in this draft.
I'm gonna say one thing about Caleb though. Look, this is one thing. I don't necessarily think he's gonna be fly fresh to death. I mean, I think it's probably gonna be something outlandish.
Well, you said something
the closest
corny.
The closest thing to decent that I've seen him rock. And I'm just being honest, man. I mean, we all done dressed up in some suits and things like that. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And we can get fresh all the time, but the closest thing I seen him wear was when he won the Heisman, right? He won the Heisman.
Yeah, he had that burgundy suit on. Looked like burgundy, it was from the like Temptations.
Stripes on it and stuff, but it had an Adidas logo on a pocket, and Adidas stripes going down the side. It kind of threw me for a loop. To me that don't look cool. But you know, I know he's about his brand, and if he's signed to Adidas, then so be it. But you know, that's just not my swag. That's not my way to get down. And if you look at the jacket, I think when he had the jacket on for the Heisman, he still had the tag on the joint on the. You know how you got the tag on the sleeve?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're supposed to take that off.
Supposed to come off.
The tailor or whatever is supposed to.
They're supposed to take that off.
Yeah. I mean, it was still on there. It's like. Yeah, I mean, you see little kids with it on there. You know what I mean? I don't see no going there.
Like, his dad's he got a dad. His dad's supposed to fix that. His dad wasn't supposed to let that.
Yeah, like come on, gotta take that tag off.
Yeah, come on, take that off, dog.
They had him going out bad.
It's not like a car you leave the sticker price on the window, man.
Facts.
It's a tag, man. Say dry clean only. That's all I say. Take that tag off, bro.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. So we only got four picks in this draft, man, with two of them coming in the top 10. Of course, let's reiterate to yesterday's tweet from Detroit's own Sauce Gardner. When I say Detroit, he's from Detroit. Okay, so when I say Detroit's own, but yes, that's that Detroit public education working for you folks, right before your very eyes. You know, he's saying he doesn't know how the Bears got two top 10 picks. How are they picking twice in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft? Saying who did they fleece to get two top 10 picks? Well. And then he later deleted it. I think he deleted it right after he put it out there. But
no, he was getting tore up.
Right. At that time, it was already captured, you know, and like you say, he don't pay attention to football. He just play it. And I can agree with him to that sentiment, because a lot of cats who are in the NFL, they don't follow football whatsoever. A lot of them don't. They just do their job and go home. You know what I'm saying? And be oblivious to what's going on around the rest of the league. But two top 10 picks in the draft. So who did the Bears fleece to do that? Thank you, Carolina. We appreciate that very much. However, we already know who the number one pick is. A strong possibility at number 9, reasons and why is what we'll be covering this week. Also, possible wide receivers we'll be covering this week. If we go wide receiver with potential other players as well. But number nine, who would I like if Joe Alt is there, which I highly doubt, take Joe Alt. But if he's not, go wide receiver. Because again, Keenan Allen has shown he's played one full season, I think, in the last 5-6 years, this previous season. So if Romo Dunze or one of them are there, do it. But it's a lot of speculation that's being said right now that the Chicago Bears will possibly use next year's first and move up and possibly trade that number nine spot with the Arizona Cardinals and take Marvin Harrison Jr. I could see that happening because, again, your first round pick next year, they don't expect for it to be very high. And also, no wide receiver coming out next year is going to be better than Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. So I could see him doing it if that's your guy, if that's what you want to do. And, you know, you go that way and then, you re-sign Yannick Ngakoue to be the other edge on the opposite side. There's a lot of things that's going to happen between this year's draft. Between this year's draft and the start of training camp. A lot of good players are going to be let go. A lot of guys are going to be looking for different homes. A lot of guys are going to be getting put on different rosters. So, I mean, yeah, you could go, Dallas. You could go, but Dallas is undersized. And so is the other edge out of Florida State. He's undersized as well. The only true edge in this draft to me is Latu. My personal opinion, that's smooth and legit and can play the position from day one. Doesn't have to bulk up. Doesn't have to be groomed. And, you know, you can go edge next year or do whatever you want to do next year or pick up whatever you can pick up, you know, during the post June 1st camp cuts, things of that nature. But I could see a possibility, again, where the Bears give up next year's first-round pick, pull a very strong move and pull a Houston Texans and move up in the draft and grab Marvin Harrison Jr. That's just my take on it. But if Romo Dunze is there at number nine, you roll with Rome. We'll see. I don't know. How do you fellas feel about that?
It's tricky. I think talent, to me, supersedes even positional need at this point. You need blue chips players to really be a contender. I kind of pose this when I mentioned Brock Bowers, who's a blue chip player, then a lot of people just kind of assume we wouldn't get Brock Bowers because we signed Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett shouldn't stop you from signing Brock Bowers if Brock Bowers is the next George Kittle.
Facts.
Right? Who would you rather have? You would have Gerald Everett Gerald Everett or Kittle.
Facts.
I would rather have Kittle because he's a weapon. You wouldn't necessarily use him as a tight end. You would use him, you could put him in a slot. You can use him all over the field. So, like you said, I think, I'm looking at it more like, how good are these players? So, for me, it's Joe Alt, he's a blue-chip guy. Romo Dunze, he's a blue-chip guy. Brock Bowers is a blue-chip guy. And then you don't know how they scout these players. They might look at, I can't pronounce the name, Fontu? Is that what I said right? He might be a blue-chip player in their eyes. And so if you got one of those four on the board, you run to the board and take them, no matter who's on the board, and depending on how you got to rank. You just go, because, Braxton Jones wouldn't stop me from drafting Alt.
Facts.
I think Braxton Jones solid, but Alt might be a freaking all-pro top five left tackle.
Facts.
So you got to think of it in that sense that you're looking more or less for talent. So if you think Bowers is going to be better than Everett, you pick him. If you think Alt is going to be better than Braxton Jones, you pick him. If you want to keep it real, they're saying that with Caleb Williams, right? They're saying we believe Caleb Williams is better than Justin Fields. We believe Justin Fields is good. We just believe Caleb Williams is going to be better. So you might as well just keep that mentality throughout the entire roster. If you think this person is going to be better than the person you have currently as a starter, you draft.
Very true.
And that's kind of my mentality. Because you start looking at the defense, who are the blue chip players on the defense? Like blue chip, Jalen Johnson, Montez Sweat. Then you say Kyler Gordon might become one. Jaquan Brisker might become one. Tremont Edmonds is kind of a fringe one, right? So you start looking how many bona fide blue chip players on offense. You could say DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. If Caleb Williams is good as they say he is, he's going to be one. Darnell Wright. Maybe Tevin Jenkins might be one. You know what I mean? Komet's kind of borderline one. Just straight up ass kickers, bro. I want ass kickers on this team. We got the top five player at this position, and it's nobody disputes it in the NFL. That's what they should be. That's what they should be looking for at number nine, a top five at their position player, regardless of what they currently have on the roster.
Yeah, I guess we all, I got a little bit of a similar view as Will. Yeah. I think it would be egregious if, you know, I'm going to just address what DeVore said, and, you know, there's a possibility. I've heard that too, and I've seen it. Possibly moving up to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that would be an egregious waste of draft capital. And people are going to be like, dang, Dan, why would you say that you're not high on Marvin Harrison? No, it's not that I'm not high on Marvin Harrison. I feel that if you were going to make him a priority and go after him like that, then I don't see why you got rid of Justin Fields. I would have kept Justin Fields, and I would have went with Marvin Harrison Jr. I would have traded down and took Marvin Harrison Jr. at 2 or 3. That's what I would have did if I was going to make him a priority. Now, you know, at the end of the day, if you do this, if you trade down and you trade away your draft pick for next year's first and this ninth to move up to 4 or 5, I think that would be ridiculous, because now you've wasted 3 draft picks on 2 players instead of just using one guy and possibly getting another draft pick for next year and doubling up on next year as well. So to me, it would be a waste of draft capital in that regard. All right. So I don't want to see that happen. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to see that happen because I think it's a waste. I think we need more picks. We don't need to be getting rid of picks at this point in time. And what I would say do with the number 9 is what I've been saying for a couple of weeks now. And that's, you've addressed, you're going to address the offensive side of the ball. If Joe Alt is there, I take Joe Alt. Right. But I don't think he's going to be there, because the Falcons draft right before us, and I guarantee you they'll draft him. Tennessee will probably, you know, want to draft him. They draft at 7. The New York Giants, if there's no quarterback available, I believe that they try to draft a left tackle. Even number 5, the Chargers, I don't see them.
I can see that. John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I can see him going after Joe Alt and protecting Herbert and solidifying their run game, which is what he's going to want to do in San Diego or Los Angeles now, I should say. So I don't think Joe Alt gets past any of those, right? There's several teams right there that I believe would take him. One of those 4 teams will take him. So I don't think he'll be available at 9 for us. That being the case, I trade down the number 9 pick, and I draft Jared Verse or Latu. Lotu, how do you say it? Whatever.
Leiatu Latu.
Leiatu. Leiatu.
Leiatu, whatever.
Leiatu Latu.
I take Verse. And the reason I say one of those guys is because I just feel like they can both set the edge a little bit better than the lighter guys can. Of course, Dallas Turner is a beast. Fast, speed, all of that. He's got it all. But
he's an outside linebacker.
Latu has all the moves.
Yeah.
Latu has every move you can think of, right? He has it all.
Yeah, he can bend too. Yep.
Yeah. And then what makes Jared Verse stand out to me is that he's good against the run and he's good against the pass. You know what I mean? So I want one of those types of guys. And I think you address the offensive side, you address the defensive side. You got to give Eberflus something. He's a defensive coach, and we've addressed a lot of stuff on the offensive side of the ball. It's time to do something with the defense. You gotta make sure that they're in step too. You know what I mean? And you don't want to let them feel neglected either, right? As a unit, just in my personal opinion. So, you know, if Alt is not there, then I would take a defensive end. I would let wide receiver go until round 2 or 3 or whatever. Even like I said, if we trade down and we can get another second round pick, then you address wide receiver in the second round if you want to, you know, or whatever. So, and let's not get it twisted. Left tackle is also deep in this draft as well. It's not bad. It's not a bad draft class. So you'll be able to get somebody that can at least compete with Braxton Jones over there. So, in my opinion, I go defensive end, man. I still go defensive end. I just feel like you gotta get to the quarterback, and I don't want to leave Montez Sweat out there by himself.
Definitely understandable. Now this is the question, you know, that I pose to both of you gentlemen on here, is the fact that we know that Keenan Allen is he catches a lot of soft tissue injuries, right, which keeps him out of games. Now, is it safe to say that our wide receiver room after DJ Moore and Keenan Allen sucks, right? We have nothing behind them. Totally. You know what I'm saying? God forbid, and in this NFL, there's going to be injuries, right? So if there's going to be injuries, God forbid it happens and it bites the wide receiver room and one of those guys go down. Now, if Keenan Allen goes down and you're just stuck with DJ Moore, where he's getting doubled, and you know, he's getting double coverage and triple coverage, you know, underneath with the linebackers, you know, he got down. Now you only have, you have the corner, you have the linebacker and the safety sitting on DJ Moore, as that being the only weapon. That's what they used to do with him, you know what I'm saying, and Justin Fields. And with our young rookie quarterback, who else do we have to depend on?
He still was able to get 1,300 yards.
Right, absolutely. Yards, it poses a good question.
Yeah.
It poses a good question.
I'm not worried about that as much, because I think we still got Cole Kmet. We still got DeAndre Swift coming out the backfield. We still got weapons.
Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett. I'm not worried about that. And Tyler Scott, you know what I mean? Yeah, he had his problems last year, but hopefully he steps up and takes a step forward and becomes a better third option.
When you say Tyler Scott, you know, it's a meme up, right? where a guy is up, you know what I'm saying? He's playing the video game, right? And the guy runs up to him and like rips off the back of his t-shirt and like brings it back to the girl or whatever to wipe up a spill or some shit. And it's like, there's like how Ryan Poles did Tyler Scott with number 13. my man still had the front part of his shirt on, but the back was ripped off. My man, it was in my man's hands. He go to get like damn. So
I think go ahead.
Oh no,
that's my man Sadiq. He posted that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sadiq.
Man, that's funny as hell. I seen that. That was funny as hell. But the question is will Caleb wear 13 or will he go to his number 18? You know, like he wore in high school. Good question. Is Keenan gonna get 13? You know,
no, or, I think that's what's gonna happen. Did he?
Keenan got 15.
Oh, he did. Oh, so that answers that question.
I thought Keenan got 15 already.
Well, they said that wasn't legit. They said it was from a fake website.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, you know, I don't know who's gonna wear 13. You know, I don't know if Caleb is gonna wear 18. He said the number really don't matter that much to him anyway. You know, it's just a number. But whatever. You know how they be lying.
I think what he's gonna do is he's gonna do further the veteran to show his humility. He's gonna wear number 18 and let Keenan have 13. That's what I just think.
Yeah, I can
go back to the high school number because it's still I can see that happen. And then maybe when Keenan leaves, he'll go back to 13 and then boost up jersey sales and all that crap. Yeah, it's all
right. I can see that happening. Now, just a quick before, you know, not trying to divert, but just a quick pro quo. Did anybody see the interview with Cam Newton and Shannon Sharp on why Cam chose number one and didn't get number two when he got to Carolina? Because Jimmy Clausen had number two and tried to finesse him and told him it would cost $1 million to get number two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jimmy Clausen, dude.
For those who didn't see the story, go check it out. But
Jimmy Clausen.
Spinning back. Okay, so, you know, obviously Dan wants to go edge at number nine or trade down. Will, what you want to do?
Man, it depends. It depends who's available. If those blue chip guys, like I mentioned, are available, I think you take the blue chip. In my opinion, what happens is if you go back and look at old drafts, bro, you'd be like, man, why did so-and-so pass on Justin Jefferson? Because they said that wasn't a need. We didn't need a wide receiver. Yeah. And then you like, that dude ended up better than everybody that was in your wide receiver room. You know, and so like, I don't want to go back and look at that draft like, man, we had a chance to draft this guy that ended up being a future Hall of Famer. And we drafted what we thought was a need. So for me, like I said, if all neighbors, Rome, if you think Dallas Turner can fit, if you think he's a blue chip, going to be a like Will Anderson type of player, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, whatever, dude, you draft a blue chip player. Now, if those guys aren't available, like Dan said, you move back. Because then now you're like, what's the point of all these guys? If the blue chip guys aren't there and I'm dealing with red chip guys, I might as well move back. And if I can't get Rome, then I move back and it goes into wide receivers. And I draft Brian Thomas Jr., out of LSU. 6'3", runs a 4.3, caught like 60-some passes, 1,100 yards, 17 touchdowns. Steve Smith loves him. Everybody knows Steve Smith said, right? He's a beast, dude. He knows wide receiver more than freaking anybody talking about it. Right. He said he's wide receiver one. He's wide receiver one. He's his fourth-ranked wide receiver. So you can move back and get a guy like that, and you can pick up a second-round pick, and then you can address edge rusher, offensive line, all that. But or you can move back, like you said, and draft first. You know, and then address, because the wide receivers is deep. You know what I mean? You can get a good wide receiver in the second round. We already know that, right? So you can get edge rusher, then get wide receiver in the second round, and you still got the third round pick. You can address offensive line. So if the blue chip guy ain't there, trade back. But if a blue chip guy's there, God is going to come in day one, bro. Like, and is a game wrecker. Whether it's offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, you pick them. You pick them and just say, all right, cool.
So, yeah, Will, are you not in favor of the trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Nah. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. I love Marvin Harrison Jr., but I'm like, Dan, if you ain't going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., you just keep Fields. Right. And like, the Bears got 2 second round draft picks next year, right? From the Carolina Panthers pick. Like, if you listen to a lot of guys, they say the top three is Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, and Rome. And they say they'll pick Harrison first because of traits and all that, but it's not that big of a gap between those three. So, you know, why would you, if Rome might fall to you at 9 because people picking quarterbacks and tackles, just let them just pick Rome. You know what I mean? Out of those big three. I mean, you may come back here and say 5 years from now, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is fucking Randy Moss and you looking like an idiot and Rome Odunze was Kevin White. But you know what I mean? Like I don't think so, because I think you still get a blue chip guy at 9. And I need those picks, because next year, the thing about having a team like this, people are gonna start wanting to get paid, right? Who's gonna be coming up for a contract soon? Briscoe, Gordon.
Briscoe,
you know what
Stevenson.
I mean? These guys gonna start coming.
Stevenson's coming up for a contract.
Yes.
Brisker's coming up for a contract. And then your big money guys are going to be coming up for their next contract.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to start having to pay some of these young guys that you sign, you know? And so, like, you're going to need that young talent. So, I don't want to get in there. That's what Ryan Pace messed up at. He made that move for the 2018 team, but he didn't have any picks in the future. When those guys start getting old, there was no one to replace them. And who did that same thing? Emery and Angelo, they did the same thing. They couldn't replenish the talent. And once the guys start getting old and they draft picks weren't coming in or the talent that you were drafting wasn't really good, it just fell apart. So you gotta, like, the good teams, these guys get old, they draft new ones, like Steelers, the Ravens. These guys get old, they just keep drafting new ones, keep drafting new ones.
That's what Jerry Angelo was very good at. People, you may dislike Jerry Angelo for never succeeding with the quarterback position. However, far as offensive line, far as running backs, far as defense, he's always replenished with more talent. Always. And I mean, he just couldn't nail the quarterback position.
Do it.
He thought he did with Jay Cutler, but he just couldn't get it down.
Emery had that one draft. Remember he had that one draft? I can't remember none of these dudes' names. He drafted like a defensive tackle. He drafted like a couple linebackers, a cornerback. All them dudes suck.
Yes. I think that was the year we took Gabe Kareem.
Bostic.
Was it Chris Bostic, Williams?
Yeah.
Was it Chris Williams or Gabe Kareem that we took?
I think Gabe Kareem was Emery.
Okay.
Chris Williams was, I think, Angelo. Yeah. Yeah, Kareem, John Bostic, like Kasim Green.
Oh, my God.
These dudes, none of these dudes.
They all suck.
The dude who jumped out the pool.
My man who could jump
out the pool.
Yeah, what the fuck? That's some trash, bro. Like, why are we talking about this? Look how explosive he is. Okay, so a fat motherfucker can jump out the pool. Great. Like, cool. Shit. Where does that translate to him, you know, doing anything on the field? I mean, let me know. But hey,
we drafted that one safety that was a workout warrior, Brandon Harden. He ran a 4.3.
Yeah,
he ran a 4.3 and put up 20 reps on the bench press. Dude couldn't play for shit.
Yeah, yeah. Adam Archuleta, all of them. Jesus Christ, it was awful, man.
That's the point I'm trying to make. We got to keep our picks.
Yeah,
we got to keep our picks, man. Like I said, if if you make him a priority, I mean, I love Marvin Harrison Jr. and I wanted to have him bad, but if you make him a priority at this point, man, you just wasting draft capital, in my opinion. Because while he's good, I don't know if he's just. It's hard to say.
You know,
he's really, really good, bro. He's really good, and he could possibly be head and shoulders above everybody. But with the way the draft class is stacking up, man, it's so deep at wide receiver. I just don't see, you know, I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it at this point in time.
Just to play devil's advocate at this moment with the both of you, do you feel that it was a total mismanagement of draft capital by getting rid of Justin Fields and going with Caleb Williams in that case? Because you could have set this team up for the next 5 to 10 years with the haul that we could have got for that number one pick from Washington. I mean, it's good to look back on it. You know, we could look back on it, but the potential, because what people don't understand, and me and Dan, we stated that we was going to tap on this today with, you know, the similar situation in Chicago with how Bulls fans, and like we say, Chicago fans, Chicago media and Chicago fans really don't know shit about talent, right? Because they wanted to give up on Coby White.
Oh, they wanted to kick him to the curb.
They wanted to kick him to the curb a few years ago, right? And given the fact that Justin Fields hasn't reached his full potential here in Chicago, not even scratched the surface yet, and the fact that they shipped him out of town, and then, of course, watch him blossom and turn into something that we, us three, know what he can be, that's going to sting a little bit. Especially when knowing that you could have had him in Chicago and really fulfilled and filled out your roster with more talent on top of talent, we could have been the 49ers. We could have been loaded like the 49ers. But, you know, if you would have kept...
I don't think you'll be able to answer that question fully until we understand...
what Caleb Williams is.
Yeah, what he is. What he is going forward. Like it could be one of the worst situations. Like, you got rid of this guy. If Caleb Williams turns out to not be, you know...
Even if Caleb Williams is average, I believe that this will be a failure.
It will be a failure of what?
It'll be a failure. If Caleb Williams is just average. If he's...
I would say it's a failure.
Yeah. If he's Jared Goff average, this is a failure.
Because right now, Justin Fields is average, right? Justin Fields is average, in my opinion, right now.
Right now, he's average.
He's not setting the world on fire, but you see the talent there. So if Caleb Williams turns out to be the exact same, what do we do? It's a lateral move. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to always be moving up. So if Caleb turns out to be really, really good, which I hope is the case.
He has to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Top 10.
Then it's a good move. It's a good move.
That's his projection, though. If I've been doing a lot of it because I didn't really – I studied him a little bit. Obviously, I watched him because he goes to USC.
See you right out there with him, yeah.
Yeah, they on TV. Like, everybody can't watch USC games. This shit come on like at 8 o'clock at night. The game's over at like 10 out here. So it's like 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So I'm watching. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I've seen him do some shit on a football field that's crazy. Like, I'm just like, dude, the throws he makes is like crazy. Like, I see him running to the right on his right foot, just flicking the ball like 60. Like, you know, I've seen the only two people I've seen like kind of do those throws, like Aaron Rodgers. When he was in Green Bay, and I seen Pat Mahomes do some crazy shit like that at Texas Tech, and I didn't think it was going to translate. I was like, this is crazy. Ain't nobody going to be – you ain't going to be able to do that shit in the NFL. And then he did.
Brett Favre, I was wrong. Them the only people I seen do that.
I was like, that's crazy, bro. Like, how the hell you do that? Like, your body, like, I'm going to break my ribs, you know? But he's projected. This is what they're saying, bro. Like, I ain't saying it because I ain't a scout.
Right.
They're saying he is the best quarterback prospect since, like, Andrew Luck. Like, he's like, sure, he got flaws, but this guy's like, I just watched Ben Solak, I think that's his name. He I forgot who he's with, but he's a scout or whatever. He was like, oh, this guy's amazing. Some of the throws, he has his flaws, but he's supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, if he's what they say he is, yeah, but that's what they're saying. Right. That's the scouts. That's the scouts. So if he's going, like, yeah, they're saying he should be as good as Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. He should, Lamar Jackson, he should be in that range. If he's not in that range, you failed or you fucked up, because that's what they're saying he should be. It's like unanimous. It's pretty unanimous amongst the scouts and the NFL executives. I think who I was listening to. I forgot who I was listening to. I think I was listening to
Daniel Jeremiah.
I don't know why I was listening to him.
He said it
Daniel
for sure.
Jeremiah. I was listening to the Take the North podcast. It just showed up in my YouTube algorithm. David Hart. What's his name? I don't listen. Weederer. I don't listen to them, but I listen. Yeah. It popped up. And they were saying they did like a study, and all NFL executives said, nope, Caleb Williams is number one, and then there's everyone else. So, yeah, he should be. He better be top 10. If he ain't top 10, Justin Fields, like you said, was at least average.
Yeah.
And had the potential to be higher than average. He had a potential to at least be top 12 quarterback in NFL. So if you move on from a guy that has a potential to be a top 12 quarterback, he better be top five. We better be having a conversation 3 years from now. It's him, Mahomes, and CJ, Burrow, Josh Allen. Yeah. And Josh Allen. That's the conversation we should be having 3 years from now. We should be like Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, CJ, and Caleb. Yeah. If he's as good as everybody say he is, that's the conversation we should be having 3 years.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I don't want it to be people just bloviating and making it, you know what I mean? Just gassing the situation up. I want it to be legit. So hopefully that's what this guy is, man. And he comes out and produces in such a way. If he does that, then all systems go.
Yeah.
Right decision was made. Everything. You know what I mean? And I feel you. If not, man. Whew.
I don't even want to see if not, because a lot of people getting fired. A lot of people getting fired.
They get exiled.
Immediately.
They get banished. they're gonna be working high school.
You gotta understand that this is possibly the transition to where some cats, you know, will get that Ryan Pace treatment, where you'll never get a job like that. You'll never get another look. You'll never get another bite at the apple again, ever.
It won't be that bad. It won't be that bad. I think everybody's entitled to a mistake. And with what Poles has done, right? In my opinion, he's more than overachieved at what his job was here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's turned the roster around. He's got him out of salary cap hell. And he did all of that in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So for him to do what he's done with the roster, I think he's set in that regard. Like you can't take away from what he's done. Not with one bad mistake. If it's a mistake, and then you gotta think about it like this too. Is it really that much of a mistake? A mistake if everybody is saying that Caleb Williams is supposed to be this guy? It's not that much of a mistake though.
In a situation like that, the media are never, you know, they say everybody made the mistake, but then you know they're gonna switch it up and put it on who? The general manager who pulled the trigger. Because at the end of the day, if Caleb Williams is just average, and let's say Justin Fields takes Pittsburgh to the Super Bowl, or he takes Pittsburgh to the AFC Championship, that's a lot of pressure. And this is somebody that you had on your roster, and you had the number one pick, where you could have put more pieces around him. Because I believe we all say, and everybody is under the same consensus, Justin Fields was given literally nothing to work with while he was here, and still made this team competitive. Still made you competitive, right? So if somebody can do that with little to nothing, imagine what they could do if you put everything around them, like you putting them around Caleb, right? And let's say Justin Fields, let's say not even this season, let's say next season, he takes the Pittsburgh Steelers to the AFC Championship. Or he takes him to the Super Bowl, and we ain't made the playoffs yet. Somebody getting fired.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but I think that's like extreme. I'm gonna push back on that. I think because it's like they're good and we're bad. Like it can exist in the world. Like I still like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is a good player. And I think the Steelers, I love the Steelers organization. Mm-hmm. I love Mike Tomlin.
Their organization is strong.
Yeah. Yes, their organization. So they're probably
building
win.
Theirs.
But we really can't say that they.
They're building. They're trying to build building. This type of organization.
Right. But we really can't say that they head and shoulders over us, because again, we finished the year 7-9. They finished the year, what, 9-8?
They're head and shoulders over us.
I'm talking about historically. Historically,
yes.
If you look at that, you go back to like the 90s, man. They probably have like four losing seasons.
Right. Yeah. And like they had a losing season under Tomlin, yeah.
Bro, they got three coaches in their history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three head coaches in their entire history.
Yeah.
That's
and Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. Like you said.
Yeah, they let things happen and they're patient, but with that patience comes the success. Mm-hmm. And each yeah. one of those coaches have had success.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
Bill Cowher, my man that's out there that Chuck looks like Omar Epps right now.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin. I mean?
Mike Tomlin.
He looks like Omar Epps to me, dog.
Facts.
He used to, at least. He's older now, though.
So, again, you know, with the... Why is it, you know, and this is why people are stating back, and you know, we're still on the subject of Caleb Williams, why everybody is on this point where it has to be playoffs or bust this year, where, you know, again, as
it gotta be,
you know,
yeah, I was like that no matter who the quarterback was,
yeah, it gotta be. Yeah, you know, where, but see, this is my fear that if we don't make the playoffs, then everybody's gonna be thinking that Caleb Williams is a bust, right? And where. Again, in Chicago, again, back to the Coby White situation, you know, Derrick Rose, Justin Fields, you know, they don't allow them to develop. They don't allow them to – they don't put them in a situation to blossom. They don't allow the talent to blossom into becoming full-blown. And, you know, like I posted on Twitter, I said in Chicago, you know, it's pretty much either you come in a god or you're a bum. They don't go through the process with you. They want immediate results here and now, and they are not built for the process. And again, Dan touched on it with Coby White. Just a few years ago, y'all wanted to run him out of town. Last night, he dropped 40. Literally, last night, dropped 40 and was the main catalyst for why the Bulls are heading into the playoffs as the eighth seed.
Well, they still got to win.
Oh, they got one more, okay, against the Miami Heat. Which, without Jimmy Butler, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy Butler is out with MCL sprain, and he's out for a couple weeks. He ain't coming back, and without him, Miami is lifeless. Stick a fork in them, they done. Bulls take on the Celtics, right? But again, behind the young... yeah. Behind the young prowess of Coby White.
Boom.
Oh yeah, they gone and foe. You know what I'm saying? They gone and foe. What was that? Oh, what was that meme where it had my man with 40, the wave 40. Cap and the cigarette hanging out his mouth holding a 40?
Yeah.
Oh. He be foul. Oh, they gone on foe now.
On foe grave.
Up out of here on foe now. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, you know, allowing that talent to develop, right? And who's to say, I mean, this may be Coby White's ceiling. It may not be. He may develop into something even better. But, again, we don't know, right? Because yeah. he's such a young talent. But, again, Chicago always eats their young. Kind of similar to New York City. They eat their young.
Chicago, this is my thought on Chicago Bears fans, Bulls fans, everybody in Chicago. We're spoiled, bro.
Michael Jordan
spoiled Chicago fans.
Yeah.
I mean, he stepped in, and from day one, he was Rookie of the Year. You know what I mean? He won. Dude won Rookie of the Year. Dude won MVP. Dude won Defensive Player of the Year several times. This is before he won championships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was winning all of those accolades. Mm-hmm. Scoring champ, dunk contest. I mean, he just stepped into the league, and the league became his like that. You know what I mean? And Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, they turned the keys to the car over and was like, yeah, that's the dude going forward.
Yeah.
And so Chicago fans are spoiled by that. And how they don't pay attention to, yeah, even though Mike took the league over.
It was a process.
It took him 7 years, 8 years to get his first championship.
Had to get through the Pistons.
And then he had a nasty run of them. You know what I mean? But you know, let's not get it twisted. There are growing pains with everybody, and even Mike, even MJ had his growing pains, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something that Bears fans, Bulls fans, we tend to overlook that sometimes, and we expect guys to just come in, you know, set the world on fire and do their thing. And in the NFL, it's even more of a development game, right? than it is with, you know, in basketball. Because basketball, you're on the floor for, you know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes a game, and you can affect both sides of the ball, you know what I mean, so on and so forth. Caleb Williams is going to go out there, and he's going to be out there maybe half the game. Maybe if you lose field position battle and time of possession battle, you might be out there 15 minutes of the game. You know what I'm saying? 20 minutes of the game. And you have to really put your stamp on the game like that. And sometimes you can't do it. Every game you can't do it. You know, and there's going to be ups and downs in that. But what we want to see is better than what we saw last year. And the only reason I say it is playoffs or bust, no matter who the quarterback was, especially with it being Caleb, in my opinion, is because
this team would have made it with Justin Fields.
They were 7-10 last year.
Yeah.
With an inferior roster than what they have right now.
Yeah.
Right? So
blown leads, right?
Yeah, you loaded up on talent in the draft. You loaded up on talent in free agency. We brought some trades in, guys by means of trade. You signed back your veteran free agent quarterback that was a stud, you know what I mean? So you got all the pieces. You brought everybody back. You didn't lose anything that you needed very badly. And you added and you added and you added to this roster. So to me, 7-9 should be, I don't know, 10, 11 wins, because we could have won 10 games last year, to be honest.
And we got a weaker schedule, too.
You should have won 10 games last year, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So somebody saying 11 games, to me, that's not far-fetched, man. You know what I mean? I think they should be able to do it. And anything less than that, if they go out there and they get 5 wins or 4 wins, bro, that's a bust of a season, man.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Boy, a lot of people got hurt. A lot of people would have to get hurt. Because, yeah, like you said, like, we didn't have Keenan Allen last year.
No.
We didn't have Keenan Allen last year. We had Gerald Everett. We had DeAndre Swift. We had, you know, we upgraded the free safety. You have Eddie Jackson. We already saw his decline. We got a better free safety. Now you're improving the quarterback situation, right? That's what they saying. He's a top prospect. He's better than Justin Fields already. That's what everyone says, right? And you got another top 10 pick. So you can add 2 blue chip players. You got a better team. Yeah. And your schedule's weaker. Because the Bears have one of the weak schedules. Yeah.
Sweat for the whole year.
Yeah, Sweat wasn't even here half the year. He wouldn't even hear the whole year.
Mm-hmm. And let's not get it twisted too.
In Godway. Yeah.
You gotta also factor in, and I made mention of this, you know, to somebody the other day, but you look at the Bears free agent pickups. They hadn't picked up many 30-plus-year-old guys. You got guys that are 30-plus on this squad that you picked up in free agency. That lets you know that, hey, it's time to win right now. We're not trying to win for the future. You brought Keenan Allen in to try to win some games now.
You brought Kevin Byard. Yeah, well,
he's 32 years old.
Byard.
Yeah, you brought him in to win right now. It's not to win later on.
Gerald Everett's 30. Yeah. Everett's 32.
Yeah. Byard is actually older than Eddie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you brought in an older player who's, you know, performing better right now, but you brought him in to win right now, not to play for the future. You know what I mean? So it's win right now in Chicago. I'm not saying Super Bowl, but you better be getting to the playoffs. You better be competitive, straight up.
That's real.
Yeah. Or at least a winning season. Now, if you have a winning season, you might go, how many games? 9-8 or some shit like that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You win 9 games, but you missed the playoffs, but you look good. And, you know, Caleb, like, I think this is my thing with Caleb. And it sucks because you know how we feel about Justin Fields. He was given a shitty situation because he got drafted by the regime that got fired, right? So they got fired and the team was already
on their way out. They were lame ducks.
They were on their way out. They were lame ducks. So he got drafted by a GM. Then he got taken up. Then a new GM was hired that didn't draft him. And this guy came in and looked at this team and said, it's crap. It wasn't necessarily he was trying to screw Justin Fields. He saw this team was crap. Ryan Pace had the books all fucked up. They didn't have draft picks. So he tore it all down. He tore it all down to the studs. Ryan Pace ran amok. It was a mess, bro. He got the house, and you like, no, we can't rehab this house. Just bulldoze it.
He bulldozed the house. Tearing walls down right now.
Yeah, exactly. We done. We can't do nothing. We can't now. We got to tear it down. So he tore down the house to the foundation. And unfortunately, Justin Fields got caught up in it, and he had some exciting moments out of nothing. Which gave us hope and said, hey, this guy's showing me something. He's doing this with nothing. Exactly. Then he kind of started building. Then he got hurt. So now this dude has to make a decision. Hey, I got the number one overall pick. I passed on CJ. They telling me this guy's even better than CJ. My scouts are telling me this guy's better than CJ. He's sitting right there. Now I might have to pay Justin Fields in a year. I want my guy. So he's going to, this is my opinion. He's going to pick his guy, which is Caleb Williams. And then he's going to do, unfortunately, Caleb's going to get that treatment. It's like the chick or the guy who did everything for the girl and the girl still dumped him, you know, and now she's on. Yeah. Now Caleb's about to get that treatment. Caleb's about to come in here and he's going to get everything Justin Fields ever wanted. It sucks. It sucks. That's why I'm glad he's in Pittsburgh, because I think they're going to take care of him.
Yeah.
A real organization. But he is going to do everything in his power to ensure Caleb Williams succeeds. That's why he traded for Keenan Allen. That's why he signed DeAndre Swift. That's why he signed Gerald Everett. That's why he traded for the – he signed that center from the L.A. Rams. Was it Sheldon? He's like, I'm going to upgrade that. You know, he ain't a superstar, but he's better than whatever the hell we had the last couple years, Sam Mustafa and Lucas Patrick.
Shit, he at least spitting somebody eye.
So yeah, nah, he might do something to help Caleb out, make him look better, because it's in his interest that he succeeds.
Absolutely.
It's in his interest.
That's what I said last week. It's like these guys are tied at the hip. They're joined, they're walking lockstep. When Justin took over, he took over a situation, like you said. I mean, everything was, he didn't have nobody walking with him. You know what I mean? Arm in arm, like walking across. No, that's not how it was. Caleb's got that. He's got the support of the GM, the coach. The coach is definitely tied in, because he knows he's on his last legs. I fired my staff last year. I've had two losing seasons in a row. I gotta make this work with Caleb. So he's lockstep. Mm-hmm. You got your coach, your coach's support. You got the GM support.
OC.
You got the city behind you. You know what I mean? The fans. Because the fans are clamoring for somebody. So they're, you know what I mean? You got the city behind you. So he's got everybody on his side. And that's something that Justin didn't have. So there's no reason. He's going to do everything. And the organization, I believe, will do everything in their power to make this work. Because you can't fail again, bro. You can't. You just can't. It's do or die. You know, the Bears cannot... They cannot fail at developing another quarterback, man. It just can't happen.
Not number one overall. We never drafted number one quarterback number one overall. Have we even had the number one overall pick?
If you fail at this now, you might as well just say, you know what?
Let's last year we did. Last year we did, actually. That's the first time.
Well, yeah. But we're talking about like giving history.
Yeah, so like, yeah, you got the number one overall pick. Like, we traded up the draft, basically like idiot at number two. We drafted Justin Fields. We drafted Rex Grossman, Kay McNown, traded for Jay Cutler. Now it's like, we're drafting the number one overall quarterback that everyone is saying is potentially generational. You can't fail this one.
Right.
This is what they're saying. Now I'm saying what they're saying. Like, so don't get mad at me. People were telling me, I watch it. I try to find every scouting report on Caleb Williams I can find, like, the past couple weeks. And they're saying this guy is potentially generational, one of the best quarterback prospects to come out in decades. Better than, as good as, not as good as Andrew Luck, but better than Trevor Lawrence. That's what they're saying. He should. That's what they're saying, man. I ain't saying.
No, that's very true.
So, yeah, you can't fail. You can't fail. You got to give him everything he needs. Offensive linemen, weapons, defense, running game, offensive coordinator, everything. Because yeah, his legacy is tied to Caleb Williams succeed. Eberflus, you know, he can be the first one to go if Caleb Williams don't play well. You know, but then we got the same cycle. You know what I mean? Now we got second coach, second offensive coordinator in 3 years, third offensive coordinator, third offense in 3 years. You know, from Cliff Kingsbury, Shane Waldron to whoever. So it has to succeed. They have to make the playoffs.
Ain't got no other choice, man. And, you know, and I tell people to give them grace, but at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, there's going to be a learning curve. Somewhere along that line, it's going to be a learning curve for him. He's going to see some things he didn't see, whatever. But they say he's highly intelligent. They say he's highly intelligent, can diagnose coverages and the whole nine, you know, can process, whatever, whatever, right? Again, Justin Fields was highly intelligent as well. You know, this is the kid who, what he scored? He scored like one of the highest scores on the Wonderlic. And
Justin?
Yeah, Justin scored one of the highest scores on the Wonderlic. Yeah, so did CJ Stroud.
The highest score.
Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? CJ Stroud scored pretty high on the Wonderlic as well. You know, we'll never know what CJ Stroud, I mean, excuse me, we'll never know what Caleb Williams scored on the Wonderlic. At this point, I'm pretty sure it don't matter. We'll never know how he did on the whiteboard, you know, diagnosing or whatever. That shit is scripted anyway. You know, they give you plays, you take home, you digest, you go over. You know, if this person's not here, this person will be open, yada, 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 whatever, right? I say give him grace, but at some point in time, if he is what you say he is, which is meaning the media, right? If he's everything that y'all say and claim him to be, how long do we give that grace? Because by week 6, week 7, week 8, this shit should be clicking. It should be clicking for him. We should see some signs of him being special, right? We should see some maturation in the season, and he should be able to take off just like CJ Stroud took off. At some point in time, you know, at some point in time, it's going to have to click. Again, with the run game, with the defense, with everything going the way it's supposed to be going, you know, if we generate turnovers, get sacks, whatever, get the ball back to him, everybody's, oh, he's a Southern California kid. Stop it. He grew up in D.C. He plays in cold weather. He's played in cold weather his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't nothing new for him. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. Can we keep him protected? Can we keep him upright? We'll see. Now, granted, you know, let's say, you know, I hope they don't have us play the Packers first week of the season, which I'm pretty sure just because it's the NFL, they want to generate that buzz. Will probably be a Sunday night or a Monday nighter with Caleb Williams because it's primetime TV.
I don't care.
No excuses.
Man, listen.
No excuses. People,
none. And I ain't saying this, and I'm not saying this to be mean. Like, I'm telling you, bro, I've watched so many breakdowns. And I'm saying the guy's talented as hell. Like, I'm saying it. And how confident and how he carries himself. I'm like, no, bro, like, bring it on. Like, you can't beat Jordan Love and the Packers, bro. Like, beat him with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Like, somebody's going to – and if you draft Romo Dunze, come on, man. Come on. Like, no.
It was Jordan Love the first year last year, man. He ain't – yeah. You know, he ain't – you know, come on, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. We go out there because this one will be in Chicago. This first game, if we play the first game against the Packers, because last year it was in Green Bay, or was it in Chicago? No, it was in Chicago. The first game last year, it was against Green Bay. Wasn't it in Chicago?
My,
I can't remember.
I think so. I think the first one was in Chicago.
So this first game, so if it's the first game this year against Green Bay, and if it's in Green Bay and the Bears go out there and Caleb Williams has a performance where he's 26 of 30, 34, you know, 360, 350 yards, and the Bears just totally whoop Green Bay's ass, oh my God. The city would be eating out of his hand. Because that would be the first time we beat the motherfuckers in how many years? In how many years?
Since 2018, dude. The year that we clinched the NFC North.
Shit.
We clinched the NFC North. We
so you're talking 6 years.
We beat them in Chicago. Eddie Jackson picked off Aaron Rodgers and twisted his ankle.
That's
what I'm saying. And like, we're at the point where it's like, tell me, we're going to take the North and never give it back? You ain't beat the Packers since you got here.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles.
Hey, and Caleb did
you
say.
You making this bold decision.
He said he wanted to go down as the greatest in history. He wanted to go down as the greatest in history. He's welcoming these moments. He's relishing these moments. Like, he like, shit,
much
as
I love Justin. Justin never beat the Packers.
Never. He never beat the Packers.
He was here 3 years. He never beat the Packers. He played well against them. He had some hell of a plays against them. Some of it wasn't all his fault. But he's 0-6.
0-6.
So now here we go. Mitch was well, like 5.
Did he play both games? He played one game against. Did he play both games against the Packers his rookie year? Oh, shit. No, he was starting after game 3.
Yeah.
So, hey, if Caleb go out there.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
He handled biz. Hey, shit, I guess
that's
we got
one. That's
one
way to flip the script.
Hey, I'll tell you. He go out there and beat the Packers. I'm going to tweet. We got one, Chicago. We finally got one. That's the way it's going to look. Because it's like, ooh. And you know they're going to play well as hell, like even last year.
Oh, yeah. Think about it last year. We were on a roll. We were rolling, right?
Yeah.
Might make the playoffs. We played the Packers. It's like they lost their gun. They forgot how to play football.
Exactly.
It's like you know what I mean? Like, we just beat the Falcons. We feeling good. We're like, yeah, we about to get these boys.
They couldn't stop that goddamn time. Screen no, pass. It's like they couldn't stop that running back angle out the backfield. The screen pass that killed us. The screen pass or that damn running back, that running back angle where he diverts out and then cuts clean across the field at an angle and he's hit right in the middle. Boop, and he's wide fucking open. Those plays are cover two killers. It's cover two killers for us. I don't know why. And that, what's that damn, well, they got rid of him now. The damn, who used to kill us? He was a bear killer. What was the damn running back? Jones.
Aaron Jones?
I couldn't fucking stand.
Yeah, he killed us.
Oh, my God, dog.
I'm so glad they got rid of him.
Dude was a legit bear killer, bro. Like, damn. Y'all can't stop this motherfucker? Like,
nah, they can't.
Jesus.
They couldn't stop him.
It's like he was scrubbed all season.
But to flip. But see, I'm going to tell y'all, we got to flip the script on this, right? Because we always talking about the Packers from a defensive perspective, right? Because they always can outscore us. We supposedly got the generational quarterback.
Yeah, supposedly.
Right? They should be chasing us.
Yeah.
And our defense just has to do enough to not stop let them. Yes, because what's happening is all the games, bro, is that like
they
we're struggling to keep a lead. We're struggling to keep a lead, and it's, you know, 14-10. And we going into the fourth quarter, and then Aaron Rodgers throws a touchdown and wins the game, and we lose the game 17-14.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's put up 28 and have a defense that holds them to 18 and 17 and some shit like that. And then we win the game, like, easily. Like, we should at this point be, because we still got DJ Moore, we still got Cole Kmet, we got Keenan Allen, we got running backs. We should be able to put up enough points with our defense that we just beat them. You know what I mean? Like, if he's as good as everyone say he is, we should be able to drop 30, 40 points a game if we need to. Because that's what he did at USC.
Yeah.
USC had no defense, right? So they had to try to score 40 points a game. And that's why he was making all those highlight plays. You got a quarterback allegedly now that you can run up the numbers. That's what they saying. That's what Mahomes does. The Kansas City Chiefs don't have the best defense. Mahomes be like, if I gotta put up 50, I'm putting up 50.
Yeah, in seconds too.
That's how good they say he is. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, we up 14. We got 5 minutes left. Mahomes will put 20 points up on your ass, dude.
Game.
Two touchdowns, field goal, game over. So. That's what I'm just saying. I'm not saying like he can have his rookie struggles. I understand. I don't expect him to do everything year one. That's why you have a good team around him. Like you said, you still should see the flashes. Year two, year three, it's go time, baby. I'm talking about you need to be top five. You number one overall pick. You need to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
And that's a fact.
That's the standard.
That's the fact.
That's all I got.
That's a fact.
That's all I got.
Well, on that note, parting shots.
No, I think I'm good, bro. I mean, it is what good. It is. I think we covered pretty much everything. We're gonna get to some more stuff next week. Yeah. We didn't get to those wide receivers like we wanted to.
Yeah.
We'll do that next week.
It's all good. Well, next week, you know, like I said, we'll drop the show, and you know, we'll be getting ready to draft a quarterback. We'll talk about you know, everything that could be a possibility next week. Of course, Caleb Williams, of course, you know, we gave you a very, 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 very detailed opinion on what we have and our outlook. Like we said, look, let's do or die now.
We're going to record next week, but on Wednesday?
You know what? We can record Wednesday, Thursday. It don't matter. What y'all want to do?
If we hit it Wednesday, then the people can do it Wednesday. Yeah, they can get it before the draft.
Okay.
Yeah. That way we can slip that wide receiver stuff talking there.
Facts.
Yeah, you're
right. There's a lot of wide receivers out there, man.
So yeah, we'll drop that next Wednesday. So if you're listening, next Wednesday afternoon will be the drop right before the draft. It'll be the Three Kings drop right before the draft next Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon. Again, like we said, we got the NFL draft next Thursday here in Detroit. I'm still trying to get tickets. NFL, they said I got access. I got the pass and everything. I got access to what's going on, but they ain't gave me my damn tickets yet. So... And as far as that Bears Care Gala, I'm still a little pissed off at them and they front office. So I'm still debating on if I'm gonna buy my tickets or not to go. But you know, Caleb Williams and I'm gonna be there. Everybody that they draft to be there. So those that are out there listening, if you do purchase tickets to the Bears Care Gala, you know, you may be lucky enough to get a picture with Caleb Williams and, you know, the rest of the rookies of the incoming class. If I buy a ticket, it's going to be the $1,000 package where, you know, if I'm there, I'm there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to half-ass it. You know, if I'm there, I want all the bells and whistles, you know what I'm saying, and all the amenities that come along with it. So, but we'll see, man. We'll see. Like I said, I got to see how this draft go and everything else. But that's it for me. Like I said, we'll drop next week, Wednesday afternoon. Again, fellas, any parting shots y'all want to give?
Nah, man. Just gear for this draft, man. And
shout out to everybody that rocks with us, man. I'll be doing a little podcast on the draft night. Not a podcast, but a little show with Draft Central. Jeff Barnes and those guys that are doing some stuff over there. So I'm gonna do that on draft night. Probably chop it up with them for a little bit. But shout out to them. They had me on their show last week, last Wednesday. It was a nice little show, man. We talked about some of the what the Bears should do and things like that. I gave them some questions about wide receivers. They pretty knowledgeable, man. Guys like to scout the players and stuff like that. So shout out to them. Jeff Barnes, and shout out to Bill Carroll. That's the other guy that handles that as well.
That's dope. As you know, we for the culture. Again, you know, we for the culture. We got the Yeah Glow instrumental bumping in the background, showing the lady female rappers some love out here. You know what I'm saying? This beat slap, though. And that song.
Oh, speaking of the ladies, shout out to the Chicago Sky, dog.
Oh, straight up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Angel Reese. Oh, yeah. You know,
they got, I mean, they got two. I mean, they're front quarters.
Yeah, they got two in towers, dude.
Yeah.
6'7", 6'3".
Yeah.
They also signed that Diamond DeShields in free agency. They looking good, bro.
They looking real good, man.
They bring some excitement. Bring excitement to the ladies. WNBA starting to get buzzed. You know, Caitlin Clark, you know, in Indiana. Mm-hmm. We'll have a little rivalry between her and Angel Reese.
Hey,
still
man.
Going on.
They're good for the WNBA, dude. Yeah, they definitely creating a little buzz, man. And if they smart, they'll build off of it. Right. You know, to keep people engaged. You know, like I said, Diana Taurasi and all y'all, look, y'all had y'all time, and I can really state my opinion on why don't nobody really want to watch y'all. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it PC.
Let these young girls go. Yeah, let these young girls ball out. Yeah, this is the new way.
Quit hating. Let them get their bag.
Diana Taurasi, dude. You always hate her.
Oh, well, you know.
You're a bona fide hater.
Look.
You ain't going to say nothing, but like, hey, young girls, do y'all thing. Y'all actually had me watching women's college basketball more than I was watching the men, bro. So I ain't going to lie.
Maybe because
they're balling.
Maybe it's because they're pretty. That's why they hate. You know what I'm saying? Females can't stand another pretty female. You know what I'm saying?
That can actually play.
And that can actually hoop too. You know? So the WNBA is in good hands, man. They got these young ladies coming in. They got the next class with Paige Beckers and all them young ladies coming in. Then after that, you got Juju Watkins and all them. They class coming in.
Yeah, Juju. Yeah.
Oh, man, Juju, that deal.
It's looking good for them. Yeah.
Juju, that deal.
Yeah, they got to step up their pay. But other than that, that's another topic. Because I know they get the fans, they're going to get the pay.
Yeah, you know.
That's the thing. That's the biggest
thing. They got to support.
I was telling somebody that the other day. Like, they got to have the fans. Like, the people that are complaining about their pay so much, watch the games.
Don't watch.
Exactly.
Watch support. The games. Support them.
Yeah.
Go to them.
Go buy an orange
WNBA hoodie.
WNBA sweatshirt. I got one.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm about to give me a Reese.
Yeah.
Make sure you get it in
like a 4X, though, because that boy going to be super snug. You know
what I'm saying? Somebody size, did. Some comedian, he bought one. He pulls a Kev on stage. He's like, I bought a large women's in his back.
Boy, that boy was fitting like a sports bra. Like, man, like, look, you got a sports bra on, bro. What size you get?
A men's large.
Yeah.
That's not a men's large, homie.
That's a women's large. Which is like a men's extra small. Like, come on, man. Gots to do better, baby.
That's the only part. Gots to do better.
That's my part. We said it's for the culture, baby.
Yeah. Support them. Stop complaining and go support them. Go buy a jersey. Go buy something. Go to a game.
Facts.
Yeah.
Support them.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go to a Sky game when they come out and play the Sparks. Definitely going to a Sky game when they come to LA.
Yeah, you have.
No doubt. That's all I got, players.
All right, for everybody out there, peace.
Y'all take it easy.
Peace out.